Welcome to the Guide Me Glow podcast. I'm your host, Shannon Tang, and I'm a holistic health coach that is here to help you become your glowier self mentally, physically, and spiritually. I'm a lifestyle and wellness content creator and founder of the wellness platform, Guide Me Glow. In this podcast, I share my journey and knowledge on all things self-development, manifesting, confidence, healing your relationship with food and body, and so much more. Follow for weekly episodes to listen to on your Glow Girl walk. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode on the Guide Me Glow podcast. Today I'm super excited for this episode because we have Olivia Arzolo here. She is Australia's number one sleep expert and she is literally so knowledgeable in all things sleep, and she has a certification in nutrition, fitness, has a degree in psychology, and sleep psychology. So honestly, she knows her stuff. She's also the author of the book Bear, Lion, Wolf. We take a deep dive into her brain and talk about her struggles in the past, how she got into this kind of work. And honestly, she is just such a sweet soul, you know, someone that you just click with straight away. So I really hope you can kind of feel that in this episode too. And yeah, you guys will find out what is the best night sleep routine that will change your life, the step by steps. And you know, sleep is obviously so important because it allows us to get our beauty sleep. It allows our body to regenerate and also be so much more energized for the next day. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. So hi Olivia, welcome to the Guide Me Glow podcast. I'm so excited to have you on.
Oh, I am super excited, especially after such a beautiful conversation. I know that this is going to be a great podcast.
I know, we were literally just chatting for like literally 45 minutes just before this podcast. So I was like, I want to ask you a question, but yeah, gotta wait for the podcast.
Right, the entire time that we allocated for the podcast, we just had a general chit chat first.
I know. The best way. Olivia is an expert in sleep, so I'm really excited to chat to you about that. Do you want to before we get to the podcast, I always give our listeners an affirmation of the week, so something that's just gonna, you know, inspire them and set them off for a good tone of the day. So do you have an affirmation of the week you want to leave our listeners with?
I would love to, sure. I trust that I am in exactly the right place at exactly the right time, and everything is unfolding as exactly as it should.
I love that.
I think this
one, I love that quote.
Thank you. This one is good to me because I feel like often we try and rush, and when we remind ourselves that we are exactly where we need to be and everything is happening at its right time, we don't feel such an urgency to get to the next point because we realize that whatever is happening now, it's where we need to be, and the lessons that we are taking from this experience, this day, right now, is what we need to grow and evolve and flourish. So don't rush through this moment, otherwise you'll miss the lessons that you need, that the universe needs you to learn. You might not know that you need to learn, but the universe needs you to learn. Like, for example, I'm in Mykonos right now, you know, party central, like amazing. And like 4 days ago, about 3 days ago, I started feeling like so sick that like literally I just have been laying in bed for the past 2 days, which is definitely like my intention was to come here and dance as much as I could, which I definitely did before I came, before I started feeling unwell. But then, you know, now the universe is like, you know what? Like, you just need to just lay down and rest. And I just need to honor that. I can't fight against it. And so, you know, I can't rush through this and, you know, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. No. The universe is telling me what I need right now. And that's to just rest and rejuvenate. And even though that's not what I thought I needed, I trust the universe and I trust that it's going to send me what I need. And if that was to make me feel so, you know, so unwell that, you know, taking a 10-minute walk was taxing, then, you know, that's what I needed.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's like I was thinking about that literally this weekend. I was like, if like there's no point wishing that you were somewhere or doing something else, because like if you should be doing that, you would be doing that. Exactly right, and so just trust that whatever you're doing right now is the right thing for you. And I think when you just think like that, it just leaves you to be so much more peaceful, because then you're not thinking of all the other things that you should be doing or what could be, because there's a million other things that you could be doing. But it's like, if you're not doing that right now, then you're not meant to be there.
Exactly.
So yeah, I love that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us about, you know, your journey into, I guess, being a sleep expert, what that means, and your kind of health and wellness journey, how you got into it?
I would absolutely love to. So my journey to be a sleep expert. So I think that sort of started when I was about 17, like my journey towards there. I was really, really unwell. I had severe anorexia, severe depression, and I was hospitalized because I was just not able to take care of myself physically or mentally. And so I was really, really unwell, and I needed to be in hospital for as an inpatient for about 6 weeks and then as an outpatient for about 3 months. And through that journey, I went from being really, really unwell and really, you know, sick into a place where I didn't want to live and I didn't want my life. And then I eventually got to a point where I started to fight for my life, and I used my supports. I used my team to help me get better. And through that process, and then I started to actually feel better and started to, you know, be able to live and be able to be happy and free again and, you know, abundant in energy. And it was just such a beautiful transformation to go from that darkest dark to that lightest light. And I realized that was sort of my purpose when in my life, was to help people transform in that way as well, you know, move from their darkest dark to their lightest light, and to help them feel full and free and on fire again. But I knew that I also needed, rather than just my experiences, I was like, I need to understand the science about how to make people feel their best inside and out, you know, mentally, physically. So I went and studied. So I studied a Bachelor of Social Science, majored in psychology, a Diploma of Health Science, Nutritional Medicine, a Certificate 3 and 4 in fitness. And then my last one was a Certificate of Sleep Psychology. Now, I knew that I wanted to help people feel their best, but I didn't know how. I just wanted to have all of this understanding so I could help with wellness. And then I started doing coaching and some personal training and mindset coaching. And then I had some sleep clients, and my sleep clients started to get really good results really fast. And this was my degrees took me about 9 years. And then this was around about 2018 that I started to see my sleep clients. And they got really good results really fast. And they were like super excited about it. And for me, I was like, yeah, for me, it's really easy to fix sleep. I just put together psychology, fitness, nutrition, and sleep psychology. And then there's just short, sharp, actionable tips. Here's the things you do. Here's the things you don't do. It's, for me, it's very logical. Mm. And when I started to do this and started to speak with just the general, my friends and whatnot, every single person was like, help me with sleep, help me with sleep, help me with sleep. And I was just like, wow, I think there's like a real need for this. Then I started to think about it. I'm like, all right, if I needed sleep help, where would I go to? Like outside of, you know, like a doctor, because I feel like doctors just prescribe sleeping pills. That's what all my clients say. Yeah. And that's what's quite well known. And so I was like, who would be like a, you know, a person in the complementary alternative space, like a nutritionist, but a sleep person? And I was like, I couldn't actually think of anyone that did it. And I was like, I think the world needs this. And I feel like I'm getting an insight into how I can help, because my clients are getting great results and really fast. And if I can help that and replicate that, then that could be amazing and life-changing for so many people. And so I decided to specialize, and then, you know, really like hone in all my skills, do heaps more of just independent learning. And I, you know, then just, yeah, so I guess focused all my work on sleep, and very quickly started seeing more clients, very quickly started working in the media, and started getting a lot of like brand partnerships. You know, I did my first one with Sealy Posturepedic, my second one with IKEA, and then just really highlighted the science-based, straightforward sleep tips that can help people literally feel sleep better, like starting that night. So that was 2018. And then I really continued largely in the media in 2019, as well as some private clients. And then, and same with 2020. And then 2021, I was approached by a book publisher to write my first book, Bear, Lion, Wolf. Which
Amazing.
Thanks. And then so I wrote that throughout the pandemic, which was a great project to work on. That was
I bet that was actually really therapeutic, because it's like, if you can't go anywhere, you're just like, you know, writing the book and
right?
just chilling.
It was good. It was really good.
Yeah.
And then that was published in February this year. And then I'm really proud to say that it's now in 11 countries. Which is really cool, including your hometown of London and including my family's hometown of Italy. So, yeah, and it's just been, and now I'm in the process of developing retreats for 2023 with some other, both my own retreats and then co-collaborating with other wellness experts. So, as well as doing, you know, I launched an online course earlier this year. The book's still going well. I still have a few private clients, and yeah, all things are just trucking along well, and it's an exciting space to be. And I think of all the things I'm really excited about, my retreats are the most exciting, though, to be honest.
Yeah. Cause I guess it's more in person as well.
Yeah.
No, that sounds like an amazing journey, and how everything is just kind of, after obviously that, it's just kind of like flowed into one thing into another, and it's just kind of continued. And has it seemed like quite, obviously you've put a lot of effort and work into it, but has it seemed to be quite like flowy the way it's kind of just planned out, you know, when things it's like it's meant to happen?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, before I did sleep, I was just doing general wellness, and I was always trying to find my thing, because I had, you know, I had all these degrees, but they didn't like, it's not like it, you know, you say, for example, you study physiotherapy and then, you know, you're going to be a physiotherapist. Like that's, you know, that's your degree. Whereas I sort of had I had this, you know, freedom to, and, you know, like fluidity of how did I best want to apply my degrees. And, you know, I care about helping people feel their best in their body and helping people feel their best in their mind. But what does that mean day to day? And, you know, like there's also like there's a lot of people already helping with those things. You know, mindset is probably one of the things that I really, really love. But I feel like there's so many people trying to, you know, guide with mindset and meditation and all of that. And they're amazing and they've been doing it so long. So when I was trying to, I guess, you know, deliver that service, there wasn't really the interest from private clients or from the media. People were just like, oh, yeah, okay, fair enough. Whereas as soon as I started doing sleep, it was just like I was just this magnet. And everyone's like, whoop. I'm just like, Jesus, you know.
Like, wow.
Yeah. And so it's definitely been, you know, has continued on that path. It's like, you know, my first partnerships, just like, I don't have a PR agency or anything. They just like Sealy Posturepedic just popped into my emails. Like, hey, would you like to explore being our media partner? I'm like, yes, I would. And then IKEA did the same thing. Like, these are global brands, like brands that I would have dreamed about working with. You know, and outside of that, you know, like I get hit up on Instagram all the time, like, oh my God, I've been searching for sleep support for so long. Help me, you know. And then like same with my book. It's like I didn't outreach for that. They just popped into my email and they're just like, hey, have you thought about writing a book? And I was like, yeah, I just haven't had the time. But if you want to chat about it, let's chat. You know, so it's compared to how hard I know that I was trying to find my niche prior to sleep. Like there was like a good 3 years of after I'd finished my degrees of just an uphill battle where I was just trying. I was like, hey, I can help with this, I can help with this, I can help with this. And everyone was like, yeah. And then I did sleep and it was just like, okay, you're a sleep girl? Okay, like let us come to you. And so it's been really beautiful because You know, I want to help people so much, and I want to, you know, them to have that transformation like I had when I was 17, you know.
And I feel like that kind of goes to show, like, when you are truly in alignment with what you're doing, things just flow to you and you don't have to try so hard in that aspect. Whereas before, you were saying how when you're doing more like general wellness things, obviously you still had all that knowledge and you still like wanted to help people. But yeah, when you didn't specialize like one thing, almost like wishy-washy kind of thing. So maybe people didn't understand as much. But when you kind of hone into like one niche, then people know exactly what, you know, who you are and why they're coming to you.
I was going to say, I think it's actually really like, it's quite true to me as well, because of all, like, although I haven't struggled with sleep before, one of my biggest challenges, and I'm sure that you're well familiar with this, you know, in your, from just from our prior conversations, is like, you know, finding balance in your own self and not pushing yourself too hard and allowing yourself to really feel rested and rejuvenated. I feel like, you know, both of us, and I know for myself as well, I'm very, very ambitious. I'm very hardworking. You know, I have a very idealist mindset, which is fantastic, but this has meant that I have burnt myself out so many times because I just haven't allocated enough time to rest and to replenish. And so I feel like it's, you know, I chat with some of my mentors, my coaches about this. It's like, how interesting that I teach the world to sleep and I teach the world how to rest when I know that my own personal journey, one of my biggest lessons is, how can I feel more rested? How can I feel more rejuvenated? So I feel like it's interesting that the universe decided that this was going to be my specialty, because I feel like that in my own path is something that I've needed to learn and that I still need to learn, is allocating enough time and energy for rejuvenation. And, you know, looping back to why I've become unwell in the last few days, like when I got to Mykonos, I was like, I'm just going to dance all I can. I don't think my brain was thinking, here's a time for rest and here's a time for dancing. It was just like dancing. And so it's like, okay, you didn't allocate any time for rest and rejuvenation. Okay, now there's going to be no dancing and all your rejuvenation.
Yeah, like forced. Like you have no choice. But it's funny. And I think that's the thing. When people see, like, you know, wellness experts or experts in the industry, they think, oh, this person is like got it all sorted and they're perfect. But it's really not like that. It's like we're still having to remind ourselves of like these things that we know we should do, but we're human. Like things fall out of balance sometimes, but it's just about knowing the tools to get yourself back to like balance. And I think that's really it. It's just knowing the balance between, you know, having all those great routines, but then also like allowing yourself to live a bit, because yeah, you're in Mykonos and you're not going to get the opportunity all the time to like dance and stuff like that, you know, there. So make the most of it.
Exactly right. So, I think that it is interesting, you know, and I think even just in my own experience, you know, even like yesterday I woke up, I feel like I had been hit by a truck, and you know, I was going to send you an email and be like, I am so sorry to do this, but I cannot do the call. Like I could barely speak. Like I woke up yesterday and I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, oh my god. So I laid down all day and I got an IV injection and like I drank like a ton of water and I ate so much food, like healthy food. And I felt hell of a lot better. But and so I woke up this morning and I was like, oh my god, I'm alive again. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But I think it's, and so like that's my experience. But then I also have remembered times where I might, you know, especially while I've been traveling, you know, there've been some weird time zones, or, you know, I've had like a 1 a.m. flight and then I've landed at 4 a.m. and I've slept for like 2 hours, and remembering that, you know, although I haven't had ongoing sleep problems, there's times that I get deprived of sleep and then I get proper sleep. Oh my God, you feel like a different person. You know, if ever I feel like I'm not aligned or I'm not on my path, I just remember the feeling that you have, and that I've had, you know, temporarily, you know, periodically, where I'm not sleeping well and then I get a really good night's rest, and how that just makes you feel like a completely different person. You just feel like you're able to be energized and alert and function and, you know, process information and, you know, be involved in all the activities that you want to be involved in. You know, you can go out with friends, you can go to work and do your work properly, you know. And these are things that when you're not sleeping well, you just don't have that capacity. You just are like, you're like a shell of a human. And if ever and so just, I just love knowing that the things that I teach people, they give them this sense of themselves back. And that's just such a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah, I love that. And like, I totally agree. It's like when I haven't had good sleep or any, like, you know, not enough sleep that I needed, I wake up and I just don't feel like, you don't feel energized. You don't feel like able to just be your best self. And I think sleep, I feel like it's such a big topic as well. There's like, there's so much, like, I guess, knowledge and like information behind it. But I wanted to ask, just backtrack a bit, before you got into sleep and you got more into like wellness and stuff, and how you said you started from like anorexia and depression. What kind of stemmed that?
I think it's hard to say exactly, but there was a lot of factors, challenging family dynamics. Like, I was really close with my dad when I was growing up, but then he used to live in the city and then only be home on a weekend. And that was really hard for me because he was like my best friend, and I didn't really have a lot of friends at school. So like, I was bullied a lot. I wasn't very close to my mom. My brother used to tease me, but then beat me up, you know, just as brothers do, nothing severe. But, you know, it was challenging, you know, to feel like my best friend, I didn't have him. My brother was being mean. The kids at school were being mean. I didn't have, you know, any sense of peace. And so I just remember being really quite sad as a child. And I think it just stemmed from that. And, you know, because I had developed my depression, like, I remember being quite sad as a child. And, you know, when I was 14, I tried to commit suicide. Like, that's that's a pretty young age to, you know, want to end your life. But it was just that point where I didn't see it getting better, and it wasn't good at the time. So I just wanted out. Thankfully I didn't. And then I developed bulimia for a few years. I think that was just one of my best friends, she was bulimic, and I think it was maybe like me trying to like just bond with somebody, you know. And then but then after a while, and then I don't know how I transferred. I stayed with the whole concept of bulimia, but it was more like because there's two types of anorexia. There's the anorexia where you don't eat, and then there's the anorexia where you eat and then you purge. And so I actually had that form, which is, I think this like similar, like it's as common, but so then I just continued on that path, and then just started restricting more and more and more, because I don't know, I think I just got more and more wrapped up in that was going to be my solution to, you know, end my misery and end the pain of, you know, being alone and feeling lonely all the time. I just remember being really, really lonely all the time. I feel like that's what really drove my trauma and drove those conditions. And something that, like I, you know, it's still, you know, when you grow up with mental health challenges, they don't just, or even, you know, sleep challenges, it's not just something like that one day it's just like cured. Like, you've got to be proactive and work on it. Like, you know, there's practices and principles that I do every day that make sure that I stay on track. And that's, you know, for me, that's writing my gratitude journal. That's making sure that I get out walking every day, in nature every day, ideally taking a swim every day. You know, having a really nourishing meal with friends or family, or, you know, connect with somebody I connect with. You know, and this is similarly, you know, my clients that with their sleep, it's like you don't just like the sleep routine that I'll share with you guys, that I'll share with you and your audience. It's not just like you do that one night and then you can, and then your sleep's fixed. No, this is the thing, like you need to, there's certain practices and principles that you need to execute night after night and day after day that allow you to stay on track. And, you know, this is, that's just the way the universe works. It's like you can't not obey, not respect your body and not obey your innate needs and your innate biology and just expect it's going to work. You know, just like if I don't do my gratitudes, if I don't spend enough time in nature, if I don't spend enough time just going for, like, you know, self-reflective walks, like I know that I feel like I'm not that vibrant sense of myself. It's the same with, you know, with any processes and practices that allow you to be your best. You've got to work on it every day and every day. So
it is, and I think that's why it's like it really is a lifestyle, because it's like those practices that mean you do every day. Same with me, like journaling, meditation, walking, like all those things. I even feel like if I miss one day, and I've been doing it for like, I would say consistently the past like couple years now, like if I miss one, even like one day of meditation or something, like I do feel off. And it's like, it just goes to show it actually sometimes won't matter like how long you've been doing it for. Like if you do stop doing it, then it's not like, you know, you're going to stay. It's like a thing that you have to keep on repeating to maintain the thing. It's like going to the gym. You could go to the gym for like years, and then if you suddenly stop going, you're not going to still stay the same, you know. You've got to like keep building on it.
Definitely. Couldn't agree more.
How did you find yourself like finding those daily rituals and things that you do? How did you come to, this is the thing that helps me the most?
Just test and error. Like trial and error.
Yeah.
I've always been very invested in like fitness, like love the gym, love walking, love running. So that was always like, that was always, even in my childhood, that was always like my piece of sanity, my piece of serenity. So that's like always just like, it's not like, except for when I'm really, really sick, it's not like, oh, will I exercise today? It's just like, what am I going to do? Because it's not just for my body, it's also for my mind. It's just my time. So that's always been a big, I guess, almost just like intuitive. It's just like, of course, gratitude is something that I've probably learned more through, you know, through asking and through asking others who are, you know, happy, reading books about, you know, happiness and reading, you know, listening to podcasts and things. And one of probably the most outstanding things that I learned from all of the teachers, be it, you know, big spiritual teachers like Buddha, or, you know, some of my coaches that I, you know, personally talk to every week, is the importance of daily gratitude. It's just for that sense of happiness, tranquility, contentness. And so that's something that I really try and implement. Mindfulness meditation as well, I feel like, is a fundamental and something that, again, you know, I'm quite sensitive to do with energies. And so when I sense that somebody is really grounded, I speak to them about it. Or if I listen to like a podcast, I can feel the person is really grounded. If I read a book, you know, watch a movie, and I know that one of the most common themes for those people who are really calm, centered, grounded individuals is that they all meditate as well. And I think, and then similarly, you know, a lot of these people who also share, you know, happiness, you know, that sense of balance as well, then they make sure that they take care of the other fundamentals, which for me are just quite intuitive. But it's just like making sure you're nourishing with wholesome foods every day. You know, you're having like a diet like your grandma would eat, you know, trying to eat as close to nature as possible. You know, getting sufficient sleep that aligns with the external circadian rhythm, you know, going to bed when it's dark and getting up when it's getting light, like these basic, you know, principles. And then from those that are really like even more advanced and even more elevated, I've noticed that they do things such as, you know, ice bathing and hot and like cold and hot plunges, breath work, yoga is often in there as well, weight training. So yeah, all these things you just pick up from people who are seeming to be living their best life or, you know, actually doing it. So I try and implement these things as I can. And, you know, but at the same time, I understand, like, not all of their practices is going to be for me. Like, for example, my meditation is my walks. Like, I love meditation, but just to sit there is not my thing. And my meditation teacher is going to hate me saying this, but it's not my thing. Whereas you put me in front of, like, you give me a nice beach walk, nothing grounds me more. Not all of the sitting meditation in the world.
Yeah.
And so you've got to, yeah, and, you know, like, I love breath work, but I find it, like, extremely taxing. So it's not a daily thing for me. Ice baths, I hate them. Not my thing. Feel great after
Does
doing.
Anyone actually really
right?
Them, let's be honest.
Right?
Yeah.
Give me like a lukewarm like ocean, like this is okay, but like ice, like it's just not working. Yeah. And so, you know, you find what works for you and then you implement that. And I think that's a really beautiful learning process, and, you know, something that you just continue to do throughout your life is ever evolving and ever growing and ever learning what best serves you.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Like, you hear, I guess, like, it's quite common for people to be like, yes, like, show gratitude and do your meditation and, like, get your sleep. To some people might be like, oh, well, it's so obvious, but it's like, well, there's a reason why when you ask someone and they, that's right. The answer, because it actually does work. Like, that is the stuff that you need to be doing. But yeah, it's finding something that works in your own way, because everyone's version of meditation, everyone's version of journaling or showing gratitude is so different. So it's just, yeah, being individual to yourself and not feeling like you do have to just like copy someone else's version of like their morning routine or whatever, and actually honing in, thinking, okay, like, what actually does work for me and make me feel my best. But, you know, your journey is honestly incredible, and how talking to you now and, you know, how we've just met today, but I feel like you're like the most like happiest, brightest little like angel. So but no, honestly, you've obviously learned so much in your journey. And what is, you know, your method with clients? Like, when clients come to you about sleep, what is like the most common things that they struggle with, and how do you work with them on that?
Sure. So definitely the most common challenge for my sleep clients is that they wake throughout the night. And I'm not meaning like once or twice. No. I'm meaning like anything from like 3 to 5 to 10 times a night. And a lot of them can't return to sleep as well. So that's probably number one. And the other two is that they can't switch off at night. And then, yeah, they can't switch off at night. As a result of either or both of those factors, they are typically waking up feeling super fatigued, super foggy. They need to rely on a lot of caffeine. And then even when they do, they feel like the energy spikes and energy peaks and energy troughs. So that's probably the most typical I find. That inability to stay asleep and get quality sleep. And then as a result of that, feeling really all over the place energetically and typically just lacking overall energy the next day. And then if that goes on for long enough, I've noticed they also become really anxious, because they know that when they're going to sleep, they're not going to get the sleep that they need. So they become anxious throughout the night. Sorry, anxious towards the night, but then also just anxious throughout the day, because it's like you're a starving child, but you just can't get the food you need. You know you need it. You know that it's never available. And so these people who are trying, especially those who are, you know, trying different methods and everything, and there's just nothing working, they just become really, really anxious and really depressed, because it's just like, I need to sleep, but I can't. What do I do? And they, and they, and a lot of them, they know that long term they don't want to take sleeping pills. So they know that's not like the solution, but they don't know what the solution is. So they begin to just give up and you lose hope, and it just becomes this awful experience of just feeling really sad and really hopeless and really depressed and then really anxious. And then even when you look at all the neurotransmitters that change, you know, when you are when you are not sleeping well, cortisol, for example, it goes up like 37%. You know, I think just on that side note, I think I wanted to share with your audience, you know, the reason we actually connected was through a platform that I am partnering with called Drop BioHealth. And one of the best things about that is that it actually measures these neurotransmitters such as cortisol. So you can see exactly what are my profiles right now. And I think what's really beautiful is if your cortisol is elevated and then you start to implement a bedtime routine, for example, and over time you can actually see that your cortisol profile will go down. As, and so you'll experience the qualitative and quantitative changes when it comes to improving your, you know, in your, improving your well-being. Sorry, that just when I was talking about cortisol, it just made me think of that. I was like, oh, that's a good time. Yeah, because I think it can be.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, I think the thing is that when you're struggling with sleep, you know, and this is something that I encourage my clients to do, is that track the changes. Track what you're doing and track the, you know, track using metrics, not just your own experience, but get something like a blood biomarker, which actually assesses what is happening in your body. And then when, then, you know, 3 months later or so, you can do that again. And has what I've done led to changes in my physical being as well? And I think the thing is that knowing that you've got that biological check-in later, it actually makes you more accountable for making change now, because you know that it's not just going to be dependent on how you feel that day. It's like there are going to be specific, tangible changes in your blood, in your physical biology, that if you do X, then chances are Y will change. So, for example, if you do the bedtime routine, chances are your cortisol levels will go down, because that is one of the consequences of doing this sleep routine. Melatonin goes up, cortisol goes down. Cortisol, for all those who don't listen, all those don't know, is a stress hormone. It's what makes us feel anxious. When you're not sleeping enough, cortisol increases. After one night of insufficient sleep, it increases by 37%. After two nights, it increases by 14%. It's huge. This is why when you wake up after a really bad night's sleep or not enough sleep, you feel really jumpy. That's cortisol. Why is cortisol doing this to you? Because cortisol is trying to tell you, it's trying to alert to you that something's not right in your body. What's not right? You haven't had enough sleep. So it's a, and to be increasing by so much demonstrates how important sleep is for our overall well-being.
So what is the optimal hours of sleep then? Because I feel like, you know, everyone knows is it really the 7 to 8 hours, or can it be individual to each person?
So like 95% of the population needs 7 to 9 hours. So
okay.
7 to 9 hours is what I'd recommend. For those who are sleep deprived, ongoing, or, you know, if they face chronic sleep deprivation, I feel like there may be a period where they may oversleep, you know, more towards the 9 hours, just to catch up a little bit. But also they actually may, once they're rebounding, actually find that if they get 7 hours, that's actually enough for them, because their body isn't used to having more sleep. They might only be used to having like 4 hours of sleep, for example. So they get up to like 6 hours or 7 hours, and their body's like, holy Jesus, this feels incredible, you know?
Yeah.
But what's more important than quantity is quality. and, you know, their bedtime routine as so captured in your in our headline, then that routine that will change your life since it's been moving out of solar.
Yeah.
That's great. It's a good name. It's a good name. I would listen to a podcast that was titled that.
It's a question that everyone wants to know.
Right, right. So, well, I guess it's a perfect time to now go into that routine. That routine helps with quality rather than quantity, which is overall what is going to make you feel best is the quality of your sleep. Not, so you need to focus on what the practices that you're doing, specifically this, before sleep, as a priority rather than focusing on I have to get 8 or 9 hours. That's less important than doing this. And so without further ado, that beautiful bedtime routine, which I'm so excited to share, starts off with blocking out blue light before bed. Now, for at least 2 hours before bed, you need to use blue light blocking glasses, which are the red colored lenses, because what happens is the body's main trigger for producing melatonin, which is the key sleepiness hormone, is darkness. Now, this is why in the country, or, you know, when you're on camp, for example, when there's no light, you'll naturally feel pretty tired a few hours after the sun sets. Now, this is it's called our primary Zeitgeber, which is a factor to control the circadian rhythm, and our primary Zeitgeber is light. Now, when you're exposed to blue light, that is light that is emitted from phones, devices, laptops, as well as ceiling lights. This suppresses that process. So you don't produce melatonin as you usually would. So therefore you don't become tired as you usually would. Now this is if there's one reason why people outside of feeling stressed, there's one reason why people can't sleep properly, it's excessive blue light.
Yeah, I think that's such a thing, right? Just before bed, like, people are just scrolling on social media. Does the you know how you can have like a function on your phone where it kind of takes out the blue light? Does that actually make a difference? Like, you know, when it has like a nighttime light thing?
Yeah, not a large difference. There were studies that showed it made about a 4% difference in melatonin levels. So, like, without your without it on, melatonin was blocked by 23%. With it on, it was blocked by 19%.
So, yeah, it's so not really.
Marginal. So you're still, you know, that's extremely marginal. So, yeah, this is the most important thing that you need to do in order to get good quality sleep, is to block out blue light. Make it really easy for yourself. Get blue light blocking glasses. There's a few that I recommend. I'm more than happy to share them with you in the show notes with you and your audience for sure. Outside of that, so that's step one. Step two is to use lavender oil capsules, not just lavender, because lavender oil capsules have been found in multiple clinical trials to improve sleep quality and to reduce anxiety. Specifically, there was one study that found that they reduced anxiety by 45%, which was equivalent to the other variable that they were using, which was benzodiazepine, which is a sleeping pill. So a sleeping pill reduced anxiety by 46%. Lavender oil capsules reduced anxiety by 45%, which is huge. And so if you're finding it hard to switch off, or you're finding you're waking up at 3 a.m., this is often a signal of high cortisol, which is often a signal of high anxiety, which means that if you use lavender oil capsules, scientifically, statistically, you will be able to sleep better. Reduce anxiety, fall asleep faster, and wake up less. And that is a great news for all of us.
That's amazing. And are they all natural?
It is literally just lavender oil capsules, yeah. And there's also a brand that I recommend that I'm happy to share in the show notes, that literally they have the same amount of lavender oil that was used in the scientific trials.
Yeah, definitely I'll leave them in the show notes, because I think a lot of people, well, there's probably loads on the market, right? And it might be confusing trying to find like the right ones and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And you want to have the ones that have the amount of lavender that is compared, that it was used in these clinical trials, which is 80 milligrams.
Yeah.
And so you might, you know, pick one off the shelf and it might say lavender oil, but it might have, you know, 40. That's what I've seen with some competitors, and I don't, then they won't make such a difference to you, and you'll say, oh, Olivia said that this is going to help me and it didn't. And then, but it's just using the wrong ones.
One. Yeah. Don't blame Olivia, guys.
Right. Step three is to have a good night phone alarm. So that's when you disconnect from tech 1 hour before bed. Now, blocking out blue light is good 2 hours before bed at least, but for all individuals, regardless of your chronotype, which I don't know if I have time in this podcast, but chronotypes is your biological preference to sleep and wake at a particular time, and this means you're a bear, lion, or wolf. If you want more information on that, maybe contact me afterwards. all individuals, all chronotypes, we need to have at least 1 hour before bed with no phones and no laptops or no devices, because this helps not only increase our melatonin, but also increase the slower brain waves in our brain, such as theta. So this is more conducive to sleep. Now, when you're on your phone, this encourages a very quick, rapid brainwave called alpha and beta, which is why we feel so alert when on our phones. It's not just the melatonin, but it's also that they're highly stimulating and that they trigger the dopamine reward pathway in the brain, which is basically the thing that helps us feel addicted. Because, you know, every time we see an exciting color, every time we see a like on our Instagram, every time we get a message, it lights up the pleasure centers in our brain and we think, this is great, this is amazing, I'm having fun, I want to do this again and again and again.
Yeah.
And then what happens is you'll find that, right, because it's not just a psychological thing, it's biological. It's the same, the dopamine reward pathway is the same pathway that's activated by crack cocaine and sugar. Now, this is what devices do to our brains, right? So it's, you need to have an alarm to kick you off. Otherwise, it's too easy to just say, oh, just one more show, one more scroll, one more chat. But you have an alarm, disconnect from tech. As soon as that alarm goes off, you go, all right, I'm done. Now, after the alarm goes off, to make it even easier to get off your phone, step four in the bedtime routine is to have a shower. You can't go on the phone when you're in the shower. This is a strategic move for me to place these two back to back. Trust me. So having a shower, why is it so good? Because it helps lower your core body temperature. When you emerge from a hot shower to a cooler bathroom, your core body temperature drops. One of the factors to encourage melatonin synthesis is a drop in your core body temperature. So this is why I recommend a shower. Now, you want to make sure it's lukewarm, not too hot, and have it 1 hour before bed.
Right. And what about, like, you know how they say it's really good to end on like a really cold shower? Is that still recommended just before bed?
I wouldn't recommend a cold shower because it actually promotes energy and alertness.
Oh, so that's more for the morning. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, it helps you be more alert. Yeah, so cold morning showers, good. Cold evening showers, bad.
Okay, got it.
Step five in the signature bedtime routine is to have magnesium. Now, this super nutrient has been shown in clinical trials to reduce our anxiety levels, which, remember, can help, is what may be causing you to have high cortisol and to wake up in the middle of the night and to be unable to fall asleep. Now, it's been shown to reduce anxiety levels by 31% over the course of 4 weeks. It's also a mineral that throughout time has become more depleted from our food. So, and it's also depleted through stress. So even a lot of us don't realize we're often magnesium deficient. Step six in the bedtime routine is to read a book. Now, reading a book has been shown to reduce stress levels by 68% with the effects beginning in 6 minutes. if you want to make it super powerful and super consuming for your mind, for example, if you've got one of those busy minds that just won't switch off, then what I recommend is reading the book aloud. It requires much more mental focus and much more attention, so it helps switch off that mind easier.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, I think reading aloud definitely helps. And what I actually find helps is also, like, well, if I'm reading like a self-development book, I like to highlight like any important information as I go, because when I'm highlighting, it make like I'm then being so like focused on exactly where I'm reading. Where sometimes, you know, when you read a page and like you'll read it and you're not like properly focused and you're like, I literally can't remember what I just read. So you have to like read it all over again. But when you highlight it, you're actually like more like laser focused. So that also helps.
Definitely. Definitely. I'd love to get your after this, you should share your recommendations on books.
Yeah,
outside of my own Bear, Lion, Wolf, of course.
Yeah, of course.
of course, of course. And then step seven of the signature bedtime routine is to wear an eye mask. Because again, remember, light before bed is not good, but light throughout the night is not good either. So wearing an eye mask is going to help you. And again, I have a recommendation for one that I personally use, which is 100% light blocking. That's a bedtime routine.
Wow. So that's like, yeah, that's, and I feel like it's such simple, like simple things that everyone can do as well. But the thing with the light thing, like for example, when I go to sleep, I don't close like my curtains fully. Like I have like a flowy one and then like a blocking one, because I kind of like waking up to natural light. Is that bad or doesn't really matter?
Waking up to natural light is beneficial, definitely, but it's more important in the evening to be using blackout blinds. So, you know, the black ones?
Mm.
So make your room, like, literally, like as dark as possible. Like, I mean, like, it's, like, pitch black.
Yeah.
And I guess a way to mediate that is to use the smart lights, which can reflect daylight and wake you up with that, you know, gentle, warm sunlight style. I would recommend that over having no blackout blinds and then being awoken by natural light.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. And earlier you mentioned how it's not just about the quantity of sleep, obviously it's about the quality of sleep. How do you know if you're getting good enough, like, quality sleep?
So this is when you wake feeling rested, rejuvenated, replenished, you feel balanced in your energy, you feel ready to face the day. You don't feel like you need to go and have, you know, seven coffees to wake up.
Yeah.
I know it might be distant memory for a lot of people, but this is what sleep can give you.
Yeah. Obviously you said like a common thing is people waking up. Personally, I have like good sleep, like I sleep throughout the night, but sometimes what I find hard is getting a good sleep, I guess, routine where I can like go to sleep early and wake up early, because, you know, once you get into the cycle of going to sleep late and then waking up, not like really late, but just, you know, in the morning, it's so hard to get out of that. So do you have any advice on someone that is more of a night owl and tends to kind of stay up later and obviously like looking at lights and all that kind of stuff, still sleeps well, but just getting to the routine of sleeping earlier, waking up earlier?
For sure. Interesting. So this is actually, you know, I touched on chronotypes before. So
yes.
That's actually what this is all about. So a chronotype is your biological preference to wake at a particular time, be it mid, early, or late. So early, mid, or late. So a night owl is termed a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And they're somebody that loves to go to sleep around like 12 or even 1 o'clock in the morning. And they don't like to wake until about like 8 or 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Very common in Europe, I must say.
Oh, yeah. I was so late in Europe.
Yeah, right. And then you've got the other end of the spectrum, which is a lion who likes to wake up and go to bed really early. So like they like to be in bed by like 10 o'clock and wake up around like 6. So they were the ones like getting up, you know, earliest.
Mm.
And then you've got the ones in the middle, and they're the bears, and they like to wake around 7 and go to sleep around 11.
Yeah.
So tips for those, for different chronotypes, particularly those who are a wolf that might want to get to bed earlier, and wake up earlier. So I mentioned in the bedtime routine that you need to block out light for at least 3 hours before bed. Sorry, 2 hours before bed. If you're a wolf, I'd recommend blocking out for at least 3 hours before bed. That's going to help you get to sleep that little bit earlier. In addition, I feel like, so in the morning, one of the best things to reset your circadian rhythm and to essentially mean that you stop producing melatonin, that sleepiness hormone, earlier in the morning, so you're more alert in the morning. But then as a result of stopping that in the morning earlier, you also produce it earlier that night, waking you tired up earlier and more alert earlier in the morning. So that's one of the things to do. This is to get 40 minutes of morning sunlight in the first hour of being awake. So literally as soon as you wake up, I want you to get up out of bed, go into sunlight, and go and do some gentle movement. So you start the day off with meditation and gentle movement. Now that can be like just like a walk. It could just be like a stretch. I'm not talking, you know, go and do like a HIIT workout, you know, at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning when you're tired. I just mean go and be in sunlight, natural sunlight, for at least 40 minutes when you wake up in the first hour. And if you're super fatigued and, you know, even just like literally walking anywhere is too much, that's okay too. Just literally just go and like sit in the sun, you know, have a cup of tea. If you have your coffee, if you're having it, you know, do some meditation, do some journaling, read, or just simply just sit there in the sun. It's going to help you feel a lot more alert in the morning and help you feel a lot more tired earlier that evening.
And how important is the movement part in that then? Is there like a link between sunlight and movement?
Yeah, it's more so there's a link between sunlight suppressing melatonin, which helps you feel less tired. And then also sunlight helps your body produce serotonin, an awakening hormone. But also exercise helps your body produce serotonin, that an awakening hormone, and also dopamine, the hormone, and a hormone that awakens you, but also dopamine and serotonin also help your body feel pleasure. They're the happiness hormones. So you like, if you hate mornings, then starting the day with exercise physiologically, even if it's just like a gentle walk, especially if it's in the sun, is going to help you feel more alert, more energized, and just happier.
Yeah.
Which I think is a big factor. You know, I think we need to feel happy to be out and about, you know.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think like movement in the morning definitely is just like, it helps you just feel more productive in the day as well. But in terms of going back to like sleep and like hacking sleep, could you say anything around, aside from like the evening routine and bedtime routine, is there, aside from that, can you recommend anything else that kind of will help you prepare for like a better sleep, things to do in the day perhaps, or even getting like blood tests to like kind of show the quality of our sleep and how to improve it?
So what I'd recommend is, so the blood test, so my friends Drop BioHealth, they've got a blood testing kit that can give you biomarkers on not just your sleep but a whole range of things. One of the most important for sleep though is cortisol. If you have elevated levels of cortisol, chances are you won't be sleeping well. So that's a really good first thing to do, is you check, you understand, where's my body at now? Where's my body at today?
Yeah.
When you get those results, or, you know, you get those results then, and then you want to start doing that bedtime routine that we just went through.
But you also learn your chronotype. Now, I've got a chronotype quiz on my website, so that will indicate to you, all right, do I need to have, for example, 2 hours of blocking out light before bed, or do I need 3 hours? And a few other factors that I share with everyone that does that quiz and, you know, is part of my email list. And so that's going to help you, as well as implementing some of the things that I've just recommended, you know, as part of your morning routine, for example, making sure that you are getting. So for those sort of wolves, that later chronotype, they need 40 minutes of morning sunlight. Whereas if you're a lion or a bear, you need 20 minutes. Now in that 20 minutes, sure that you're exposed to natural sunlight and ideally doing some movement. These factors are going to help you sleep better in the evening and also feel more alert and awake in the morning. But the most important thing is to also not just give yourself, okay, cool, I'm going to do this like forever. All right, so what you're going to do is take that test, implement all these changes for 3 months. If you want some support on that, reach out to me. I've got an online program. I do my coaching programs. I've got lots of options for you. And then you want to take the blood test again 3 months later. Because from my understanding, blood typically renews itself in 90-day cycles. And so the efforts that you've made throughout that 90 days are going to be evident. And if you've seen improvements in your biomarkers, then you're going to know, great, it's not just that I'm feeling better, but actually physiologically, I'm getting better. My cortisol level is decreasing, as well as the other biomarkers that are indicating that how healthy I'm being, you know, inflammation markers, things like that. I think it's really important to not just have like a strategy, but also have a structured approach, and to know that, okay, here are my timelines.
Yeah, I love that. And when you say getting out like first thing in the morning, does it have to be like literally first thing in the morning, or can it just be like general morning? Like, is that a stupid question? But sometimes I like wake up and I want to do like my morning routine and like do my journaling and meditation, and that's kind of like an hour late, like an hour, and then, you know, then I'll go out and move. But is it only like, you know, when you kind of first kind of wake up?
So the circadian rhythm is the most sensitive in the first hour upon waking. So ideally you want to be outside there. But if it's really like impossible for you, or you just want like a step towards that, but you're not ready to go all in, then even if you do want to do some meditation and journaling inside, then just sit by a brightly.
Usually I'll do it outside.
In the sun.
So I guess that kind of works the same. Yeah. Okay. And I have one last question for you. Because you mentioned you were into spirituality before, and I kind of wanted to see your, I guess, like opinion on, do you think if there's like a link between what you think about just before sleep and if it impacts your subconscious brain? So for example, you know, I hear when people say it's best to like manifest stuff like just before bed or like just when you wake up, because your brain is more on that, like, you know, you're a bit sleepy.
So, and this is really cool because it's not just like, I think spirituality cops some flack, you know, about it being woo woo or whatever, but what's really cool is in terms of actually the psychology, because I majored in psychology, so psychologically your memory, you have the greatest recollection of the things that you encode last. So if you are thinking about something last in the evening, that is the most memorable, that is the most deepest, I'm not explaining this so well. So the things that you're thinking about just before bed are encoded or transferred to long-term memory the most, more so information that's recalled earlier from the day. So for example, if you are manifesting, you know, on affirmations in the evening, like, I am at the perfect place at the perfect time, and this is exactly where I need to be, then that is going to be remembered the most in your memory than if you were to say it throughout the day. So yes, it does matter.
Yeah. Just before. Would that be the same in the morning too, or is it just before bed?
So in terms of transferring information from short-term to long-term memory, that's just before you go to bed.
Okay. That's so interesting.
That's when it has the most, the greatest impact. You still transfer memory, you still just transfer information from short-term to long-term memory all throughout the day. Mm. But the thing is, what happens last has the greatest uptake.
Yeah, so we all should be doing our manifestations before bed, basically.
Definitely.
Yeah. And do you know much about dreams in terms of like if they mean things? So random, right? So I did a sound healing a couple weeks back, and ever since that sound healing session, I don't normally dream really that much. Like, I don't remember my dreams if I do, but I don't really feel like I dream much. But after that sound healing session, I literally started having the most, like, especially the first two nights, the most vivid, crazy dreams. It was like a movie. And I don't know if there's like a correlation between it was like, I don't know, awakened my subconscious or something. But after that, I was just really like, I was just wondering, like, do you think it has, you know, does it mean anything?
So there's a lot of correlation between meditation and getting into a more meditative state and vivid dreams. And I would say that sound healing allows you to move into that meditative state, therefore would allow you to have more vivid dreams, absolutely. In terms of the actual context of dreams, like, you know, a fire or water or whatever, at the moment there's no evidence that indicates what that context means. It may be linked to emotional processing. It may be linked to your subconscious. There's no clear indication. The only, like, real outstanding scientific indication is that there is correlation between vivid dreams and meditation.
Yeah. Well, that probably explains why then.
My sleep retreat in 2023. That's what we're focused on.
Yeah. Are you doing these retreats? Do you know where you're doing your retreats yet or still planning?
We're looking at Byron Bay first. Of course. Byron, spiritual place
of strength. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
But I would definitely be looking at doing Bali. That's a spiritual home. And,
yes.
Yeah. But I think Byron is really special, and I think especially right now there's still, you know, there's still some challenges with travel and, you know, especially like vaccinations and, you know, travel risks, things like that. There's still, I guess, I feel like there's greater ease with having an event like that in Australia. So that's sort of my main, I guess, reason I want to have it in Australia first. But Bali is my spiritual home. So it will be, that'll be my next one.
Yeah.
First Byron.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, hopefully I'll still be in Bali when you do your retreat there, so I can come.
I would love that. I'd love that. Sure.
Yeah. So I always leave my listeners with a challenge of the week. Do you have a challenge of the week that you can give our listeners? I mean, aside from the 7-step sleep routine.
that's what I was going to do. All right. Other than that, I challenge the readers to take my chronotype quiz.
Okay.
Two challenges. Take the chronotype quiz and take the drop bio blood biomarker test.
So what is that? Is that like an online
thing? So they literally, you order online and they send it out to you, and then it's like a blood sampling test, and then you send them the blood via mail. It's like all, you know, like medically approved and everything. And then they process your blood and then they send you back the results.
And then is that specifically for like sleep or just kind of shows you everything?
There's heaps of stuff they show you. So you've got sleep, you get inflammation markers, indicators of delete disease risks. There's over 30 blood biomarkers that indicate sleep, stress, energy levels, nutrition, exercise, diet, inflammation, and alcohol consumption. So it's really comprehensive.
Yeah, I'll leave the link down in the show notes for people to find. Please, as well as your website.
Yeah, So the key takeaways: do the blood test, do the chronotype quiz, start the bedtime routine.
Yeah. And where can our listeners find you?
So I'm on Instagram as Olivia Arizolo, which is Olivia Arezolo. I'm also on my website under the same name. those are probably the two best places. And then you can email me as well if you want, if you want to chat. But yeah, I think starting with my email, with my Instagram or my website are good places. Definitely saying hello and, you know, letting me know that you've connected via this podcast would be so beautiful. And yeah, I'm always excited to hear like what's been the most valuable feedback, most valuable thing to learn, and the best takeaway. So anyone listening who feels called to do that, I would love to hear from you.
Amazing. Yeah, I actually remembered, I did actually do your test thing because obviously I knew we were recording podcasts together, but I think I did it wrong because I put down like my preferred sleeping time and wake up time to like what I'm currently in.
So it
said I was a bear, I think. I feel like at the moment my sleep routine is more in the wolf area. So yeah, maybe I need to do it again.
Yeah, do the actual what's actually happening, not your preferences.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. And this has been such an insightful podcast. I think people are going to get great value from this. So
thank you. For your time. It's been so beautiful to connect.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I'm sorry about the sound quality towards the end of the episode. Olivia was currently in Mykonos, so she was just trying to find locations around her hotel. So I hope you don't mind. But it was a super candid, super just raw conversation. So I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please give this podcast a rating and a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It would really mean a lot. Thank you so much, and I will speak to you angels next week. Bye.